ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲವ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivragacha Charya Stotra Shatra Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So we can just chant this all together. This is the third sloka of the Dashavatar, glorifying Lord Varahadev.
Vasati dashana shikare darani tavalagna shashini kalanka kalevani magna Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare.
O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you. The earth, which has become immersed in the Garbhodaka ocean at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today is Thursday, September 11th, and we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha, verse number 7.
Tam nisarantam shalila-danudruto Hiranyakesho dvidaram yatajasha Karaladamstro shani nishvano bravit Gata hriyam kim tvasatam vigarhitam Tam nisarantam shalila-dadudruto Hiranyakesho dviradam yatajasha Karaladam stro shani nisvano bravit Gata hriyam kim tvasatam vigarhitam.
Please chant.
Thank you.
Okay, word for word. Tam, him. Nisarantam, coming out. Salilat, from the water. Anudrutaha, chaste. Hiranyakeshaha, having golden hair. Dviradam, an elephant. Yatha, as. Jashaha, a crocodile. Karaladamstraha, having fearful teeth. Ashanidhi Nisvanaha, roaring like thunder. Abravit, he said. Gatahriyam, for those who are shameless. Kim, what? Tu, indeed. Asatam, for the wretches. Vigarhitam, reproachable. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demon who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." Please repeat. The demon who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water. Even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." Purport. When the Lord was coming out of the water, taking the earth in his arms to deliver it, the demon derided him with insulting words. But the Lord did not care, because he was very conscious of his duty. For a dutiful man, there is nothing to fear. Similarly, those who are powerful have no fear of derision or unkind words from an enemy. The Lord has nothing to fear from anyone, yet he was merciful to his enemy by neglecting him. Although apparently he fled from the challenge, it was just to protect the earth from calamity that he tolerated Hiranyaksha's deriding words. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmaji Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narotamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet.
Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So thank you for everyone for giving me this opportunity to speak. I thank you for being in the class, and I thank those who are listening online and those who do hear it later. And I pray that my words can somehow be pleasing to the Lord and to the Vaishnavas. And before I begin, I want to take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita verse 10:9. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we are learning about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the two twin demoniac sons of Diti. In Bhagavad Gita 16:4, the qualities of the demons are expressed. Dambo darpo bimanascha krodha parushyam evacha agyanam cha vijatasya partha sampadam asurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. And we see that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they're the epitome of these characteristics. They have all of these characteristics within them. They have received benedictions from Lord Brahma that they would not be killed by anyone in the universe. So what do? They start controlling the three worlds. Hiranyaksha goes to fight with everyone in the universe. And they become so proud and fearless because no one would defeat them. They would all run away when they would come. Even the aquatics in the ocean would run away, swim away. So Hiranyaksha, he was so conceited, when he went to the Garbhadak ocean, he sought out Varuna. And he's mocking him, saying, "Oh, you are so young. I'd like to fight with you." And Varuna, it says in the Bhagavatam, Varuna had anger towards this, but he tolerated it. And he informed Hiranyaksha, "Better you fight with Lord Vishnu. He would be more of a suitable challenge for you. And then when he does fight with you, he will throw your body to the jackals and the wolves." And Hiranyaksha, being so proud, becomes so happy, thinking, "Oh, there's someone who can challenge me. Great, where can I find this Lord Vishnu?" And he goes to find Narada Muni and asks Narada Muni, "Where is Lord Vishnu?" And Narada Muni informs him he's in the Garbhadaka ocean. So that's where we are at in this shloka. And Hiranyaksha is at the Garbhadaka ocean and he's seeing Lord Varadev, who is... Hiranyaksha had abducted Bhumi Devi and placed her in the depths of the Garbhadaka ocean. And as we know, Bhumi Devi is the consort of Lord Vishnu, who has taken the form of Varahadev. So his first duty and foremost duty, Lord Varahadev's, is to rescue and to protect and rescue Bhumi Devi. So that is what he's doing here. He is lifting her up with his tusks and bringing her out of the Garbhadaka ocean. And Hiranyaksha, being so agitated, he has a temper that's very difficult to control, becomes angry, and he starts insulting Varahadev, trying to agitate him. And whereas Lord Varahadev is just calmly doing his duty, trying to protect Bhumi Devi, bringing her out, tolerating the insults. So in this verse, there are three topics I'd like to talk about today. Fear, the importance of following our duty, and criticism. So let's talk about fear. What does fear look like to a demoniac person, and what does fear look like to a devotee? Now in Satyug, the devotees and the demons, they were clearly distinguished. They were separate individuals, clearly. And in Kali Yuga, all of us have some kind of mixed divine and demoniac qualities, depending on whether we are taking shelter of the material energy or whether we're taking shelter of the divine energy. So those who have taken more shelter of the material energy, having more demoniac nature, for them, fearlessness means false faith in oneself. We hear of this term, self-made man, self-made woman. And this is when one claims they've struggled through many struggles in life and they've become successful by their own endeavors. They did it all by themselves. They didn't inherit any qualities from anyone. They didn't get help from anyone. It's all about them doing it by themselves. And that's having a false faith in oneself or in the false ego, basically. For fear, for the demons, it's loss of control. When they feel like they're losing control of what they thought they had control of, that's when they start fearing. And if it, ultimately, it's death that Krishna comes in the form of death. That's how what they ultimately end up fearing. We hear that the anger is the younger brother of desire. So when their desires are not fulfilled, the first reaction that comes out is anger and vengefulness. Now for devotees, or those who are taking more shelter of God consciousness, when they experience fearlessness, how do they experience fearlessness? Well, in general, there is nothing to fear about. This is material. We are not this body. We're not this mind. This is a temporary world. We put our faith in the Lord. And that's where we, in Krishna consciousness, in the process of Krishna consciousness, and in the Lord himself. When devotees do have fear, they call out to the Lord for protection, for guidance. They don't rely on their own abilities. Devotees know that only Lord Krishna is in control. And fear can also be used as an impetus to bring us closer to the Lord through deep prayer. And the only real fear that devotees have is the fear of Vaishnava Parad. Anything that will take us away from Krishna and his devotees. One other fear my Guru Maharaj used to always say is being complacent in our Krishna consciousness. Because when we are complacent, that's where Maya comes in. So I'd like to give a few examples of how individuals react with fear. We see in Krishna Lila when Kamsa is carrying his sister, Devaki, his cousin sister Devaki, to Vasudeva's new kingdom. And this ominous voice comes from above saying, Kamsa, you fool, the eighth son of this sister of yours will kill you. And what does he do? Immediately, without thinking, he grabs her hair, ready to cut off her head. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't meditate on it. He doesn't pray to the Lord. He's thinking all about himself. What? I can't be killed? He's afraid of death. He's afraid of losing that control. And what does Vasudeva do? He sees this horrible act about to be performed, and he's also fearful. And we can see that he must have gone through prayer, deep prayer, Krishna, please, or Vishnu, whoever he is praying to, he must have gone internal prayer and he's calming down Kamsa. Kamsa, this is not the act to do right now. What will people think of you? You are bringing your sister to her kingdom and you kill her right in front of everyone? And he says, if there are any children, I'll bring them to you. And we hear in the Krishna book that Vasudeva's thinking, whatever will happen, we'll just depend on the Lord. And this will be somehow... He takes shelter of the Lord. And for now, he's just offering this. We've seen Mother Yashoda and the gopis when Trinavartha comes and he's whirling dust all around and no one can even see their hand in front of their face. And they're all in fear. Where's baby Krishna? They cannot find him and Mother Yashoda's crying. And the gopis are they cannot even find Mother Yashoda, let alone Krishna. And they're praying. They're praying to be able to find Lord Krishna, to be able to help Mother Yashoda. And when they do find baby Krishna and they see that he's safe, what do? That anxiety that they had, they put prayers. They put the cow's tail upon him and brush him with the cow's tail. And they chant all the mantras of Lord Vishnu to protect Lord Krishna, baby Krishna. So they turn that anxiety into prayer. In Haridas Thakur, he's beaten in 22 marketplaces, yet he shows no fear. He's actually praying for those guards. He forgave them. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, during the Mahaprakash Lila, Madhya Lila chapter 10, verses 38 to 45, Lord Chaitanya tells Haridas Thakur, I wanted to kill all those Yavana guards. My chakra was ready, spinning. But the chakra was powerless because you forgave all of them. So what did I do? I covered you and took the lashes upon myself. And this way, Haridas Thakur felt no pain. And yet he continued his duty as Namacharya, chanting the holy names. So the second point I'd like to express is the importance of following our duty. Now, we all have duties in life, whatever varna or ashram we're in. And one of the most selfless duties is that of being a parent. And we all know as parents, sometimes our children say things that can be harsh, maybe even painful. That's when they're little. I can only imagine what happens when they're a teenager. And what does a mature parent do? A mature parent, they may feel hurt, yes, but they tolerate this. And they still protect their child. They protect their child physically, mentally, and spiritually, reminding them that Krishna is in the center. So Varahadeva is acting like a mature parent here whose child has acted up, and he doesn't react back to Hiranyaksha. He continues finishing his duty of protecting Bhumidevi, and he responds later to Hiranyaksha. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, those who are powerful, and this is in spiritual strength, have no fear of derision or unkind words from an enemy. Challenges will come to all of us. We will all experience criticism. Calamities may occur. But we can take shelter of our service, our duty. And for devotees, our duty is our service to Krishna. And that may be taking care of our family. It may be in just chanting and preaching. Whatever our service is, that is, if we take shelter of that, that will empower us as long as we remain dutiful. And when we remain focused on this service, criticism and fear cannot harm us. In my own personal example, when we moved here from New York, somehow this organically, this wonderful service of making the class schedule came to me. And I remember when I got pregnant and I was thinking, I don't want to give up this service. It's my only link to the temple. And what I appreciated was I could do the service at night, at day, anytime in my own home. But I wasn't only serving the temple, but I was serving all the Vaishnavas, giving them a schedule that fit them and did not give them anxiety. And I noticed when there was a difficulty for me in any aspect of my life, the first thing I would do is I would open up my laptop and try to make the schedule, because I felt that connection. Connection to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And even if I had finished the schedule for the month, I would start on the next month. One perfect example of one who followed their duty regardless of anything was Srila Prabhupada. He was single-pointed in his duty. As a working family man, he was writing for The Harmonist, which became Back to Godhead magazine. Even when his wife had sold the Bhagavad Gita, he didn't react to her. He responded, he understood that Krishna was giving a message, now it's time for me to leave. At the age of 69, Srila Prabhupada comes on a cargo ship, suffers two heart attacks, and comes to this country where he knows no one. He doesn't even know if he'll get food here. He has no money except 40 rupees. And he just follows his duty to his Guru Maharaj, following Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's instructions to his disciples to go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. And he does this despite whatever criticism he had even endured, whatever difficulties he had endured. So the next topic is criticism, the danger of it, and what we can do to rectify ourselves. So the Lord, in order to protect his devotee, is ready to tolerate insulting words from the atheists. And we see that here in Lord Varaha's example with Hiranyaksha. Another time Lord Krishna tolerates getting criticized is when he is when Jarasandha comes to Mathura and attacks 17 times. And on the 18th time, what does Lord Krishna do? He just leaves the battlefield without any weapons. He just walks away. And Jarasandha and others call him Ranchur, one who leaves the battlefield, a coward. And there's a higher purpose Lord Krishna had, because Rukmini Devi was going to be married to Shishupal the next day, and she had written a letter, and she was in anxiety, and she wanted Lord Krishna to kidnap her. So for a higher duty for his consort, his eternal consort, pure devotee, he tolerated being called Ranchur. Another instance in Dwaraka, we all know the story about the Shamantaka jewel. And Satrajit, he gets this jewel from the sun god. And Lord Krishna asks him, please give it to Ugrasen, King Ugrasen. And Satrajit does not want to do this. So he builds a temple so everyone can see the jewel, but they'll glorify him. And one day his brother Prasena takes the jewel. He wants to show off with it. And he goes to the forest. There's an accident and a lion kills him. And so Prasena is missing for a few days, and so is the jewel. And Satyajit is worried. He's worried about the jewel. He's worried what happened to his brother. And he thinks, well, that Krishna, he was asking me to give the jewel away. Maybe he took the jewel from my brother and killed him. And he expresses this to many individuals, and it's become a rumor circulating all around Dwaraka. And Lord Krishna is hearing this, and he's not pleased. And we know that from the story, he does go, and he finds the jewel, and he brings back the jewel. But we see in this example that Lord Krishna also tolerated being criticized by others in Dwaraka. Demoniac persons purposely insult the Lord. But there is no one more than who insults the Lord than the Mayavadis. They don't even recognize, not only do they not recognize that the Lord has no feelings, but they don't even recognize he's a person. So we too may have to experience criticism in our life. We may have to tolerate while we are serving. Learned men overcome insults because they've realized we're not this body, we're not this mind. And insults may happen to allow a devotee to rapidly advance. We see in Vidura's example, when he was in the kingdom and Duryodhan publicly insults him, saying he's the son of a Sudra and his mother is a maidservant. Why is he still in the kingdom? And Vidura, he gets hurt. He has feelings, he gets hurt. But then he sees that this is my opportunity to let go of the kingdom. I've done my duty with my duty here. So he does leave the kingdom and he takes shelter of Uddhava and Maitreya to receive higher knowledge. Now for the rest of us who are not at that high level of advancement, what can we do when we have a criticism and we have to tolerate extreme tolerance? There's a beautiful quote that His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj, he's a sannyas disciple of His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, who was also a disciple, sannyas disciple of His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj. So Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj saw this quote on a car bumper, but it's really sums up our philosophy. And the quote is, live without pretending, hear without defending, speak without offending, and love without depending. So what is it to mean to live without pretending? It means to be honest, no dualities, live in an honest way. To hear without defending. Not to be defensive, to be humble. We evoke the humility. Speak without offending. To be sensitive to others. Following Vaishnava etiquette. And love without depending or expecting. To be unconditional in our love, in our service. To serve with purity. Not depending on this boon or that benediction. And this sums up the inner life of a devotee. And if we practice this, it'll awaken bhakti in our hearts. Now, what if we make an insult to others? Sometimes out of motive passion or ignorance or whatever, we may accidentally or purposely insult someone. Now, Nectar of Instruction says, the first verse says, in the first process, Vachu vegam manasakrodha vegam jiva vegam udara pashta vegam etan vegan yo vishaheta dira sarvam apimam prithivim sashishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So that first part of that sloka, tolerate the urge to speak, that's not always very easy. So what can we do? We can serve that devotee in person, through their words, and in our minds. We can, of course, first apologize to that devotee. We can be of service, render service to them. And in our mind, keep our mind free from any offenses towards them. One example I'd like to share is that of Gopal Chakravarti. He criticized Haridas Thakur's glorification of the holy name. Haridas Thakur said, one can receive liberation even by namabhas. That's the second process where we're chanting and we may stray off and then we come back and we're chanting. We don't have to be perfect in our chanting. So Gopal Chakravarti says, if one is not liberated by namabhas, I shall cut off your nose. And Haridas Thakur challenges him back and says, if namabhas liberation is not available, I shall cut off my own nose. Now, Haridas Thakur did not take offense by Gopal Chakravarti, but the Lord did. He took that as offensive. And within 3 days, Gopal Chakravarti contracted leprosy and his own nose fell off. There's a beautiful quote I'm going to read from Rupa Vilas Prabhu's Namacharya, The Life of Srila Haridas Thakur. Actually, it's not a quote, it's a paragraph here. The offended Vaishnav may readily agree to forgive the offender. However, such an apology is insufficient. The accused devotee's reputation has been spoiled. The accuser, in order to gain the favor of the offended Vaishnav, needs to rectify the situation. Therefore, the offender should publish or broadcast the innocence of the accused devotee at least as widely and vigorously as he originally broadcasted the so-called guilt of that devotee, and inquire also how he may further serve and satisfy the wronged Vaishnav. When the offended devotee becomes fully satisfied, he grants his full-hearted forgiveness, favor, and actually prays to Lord Krishna for the deliverance of the offender. Such a bestowal of mercy is called anugraha and is essential for the complete removal of aparadh. And I'd like to conclude with a quote from the Mahabharat. This is from Mahabharat Shanti Parva, chapter 30, where Yudhishthira is inquiring from Grandfather Bhishma Dev. Yudhishthira inquires, how should one react to people who insult you by their rudeness and arrogance? Grandfather Bhishma replies, if one does not become angry when insulted by another, then he takes away all the pious merit that that person, the abuser, may have accumulated by good deeds. In addition, he transfers to the abuser his own sinful reactions. So when someone becomes angry and insults us, and we do not become angry back, that person takes away all of the pious, we take all the pious merit that that person may have accumulated, and they in turn take our own sinful reactions. So I'd like to read the verse again, translation. The demon who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." Thank you for your time. If there's anyone, any comments, questions, corrections, Madamati, Devi.
Just first of all, I want to thank you for the service that you've been doing for years. I don't think so we have had in the last 27, 28 years that I've been here such a steady and regulated person to take care of the service of giving class. So. Thank you very much. Just about the last statement that you ended from the Mahabharata, it kind of feels almost not good. I mean, this is a statement that has been given, you know, Bhishma Dev telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. Especially as a devotee, you know, we have interactions with devotees, so I wouldn't want either way. Let's say a devotee has said something mean to me and I don't react to it, then that's kind of feels that I take away all his pious things and all my bad things. I, as a devotee, I wouldn't want that to happen. Could you comment something?
Yes, well, that's why devotees, when they go through being criticized, it's a good habit to forgive the person and to pray for the person. Pray for them that, Krishna, they may not mean what they're saying. I want to, let's rectify this. Devotees are always praying for one another. And through that prayer, we can protect the other person from incurring this harmful reaction. But it's a good reminder for all of us, this is how severe the reaction is for criticizing and insulting and blaspheming anyone, let alone devotees. Comment by Prem Sankirtan.
We can see from Srila Haridas Thakur's example, like Mahaprabhu, during Mahaprakash Lila, he was expressing to Srila Haridas Thakur. He was saying that, Haridas, they were beating you, the Javano guards, I wanted to kill them. Actually, I was just there, and my Sudarshan Chakra was in my hand. But I couldn't do anything because you were praying for that. So that means that even though Haridas Thakur didn't want, but Mahaprabhu really wanted. So there, his prayer was, Haridas Thakur's prayer was keeping everything like, Mahaprabhu couldn't do anything. Even his Sudarshan Chakra couldn't do anything. On the other way, for Gopal Chakrabarti, Gopal Chakrabarti, when he insulted in front of everybody in that assembly of, actually it was the father of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, where those two brothers, Hiranyo and in their assembly, he insulted Haridas Thakur. Gopal Chakrabarti. And Haridas Thakur actually forgave him. He didn't take that insult. But Lord Mahaprabhu didn't accept that actually. And because Gopal Chakrabarti never went back to Haridas Thakur and asking for forgiveness, That's why he suffered. But if you look at Chapal Gopal, there was another Gopal Chapal who actually dropped the liquor, meat, and everything in front of Srivas Pandit's house. Later on, he took shelter of Srivas Pandit, and he got actually became a very nice devotee. Same with the Devananda Pandit. So many examples are there. I mean, the most important thing I think here, even though devotee, we are kind, or you are kind, but if we take shelter of the devotee, then Lord Krishna is going to be very happy. I think that is the solution there.
Anyone else? Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.